Welcome to Scars to Stars, where conversations and personal stories let us know we are not alone. In this show, you will meet authors and speakers from our books and events as they share vulnerable personal stories to spread hope and inspire you through adversities in your own life. The world is a difficult place. You will find like-minded people here with kind hearts and supportive souls. I am your host, Dina Brown Mitchell. I am a suicide survivor and the founder of the Realize Foundation. I am so glad you are here. Let's dig into this meaningful conversation. Hello, everybody. It's Dina at the Realize Foundation, and I'm here today with TJ. He was an author in book three. And again, if you're just finding us and you don't know what I'm talking about, we have books called Scars to Stars, and we've had three volumes that are all on Amazon and Kindle and other places you can find them. And they've all been bestsellers, and they're a compilation of people's stories of overcoming adversity. And we publish these books because we are trying to give hope to people and to let them know they're not alone in their struggles, and that there are people in the world who've been where they are, and how we can have a community and have these conversations to talk about this and help people get through their struggles. So TJ, first of all, I want to thank you for sharing your story. And if any of you guys are wondering, what is TJ's story? Then go find book three on Amazon and read about it. You can give an overview if you want. And then we can talk about what you're doing now.
Sure. Essentially, my story starts when I was 4 years old. Went into the hospital for a really, really bad ear infection. And I took amoxicillin. And within a week or so, all my skin burned off and hair and teeth. And just essentially my body was melting and did major cornea damage to my eyes, which eventually I did pull through the disease that is called Stevens-Johnson syndrome, which is caused by a high allergic reaction medication. And it made me legally blind. I can see some, but, you know, kind of made my life, turned it upside down, but I manage. And then throughout that, I, you know, as of healing and just, you know, mentally and physically, just trying to land on my feet. I was 4 and a half, so I just was trying to get through life. And as I was trying to deal with my vision, all of a sudden bullying and the molestation and just a lot of different abuse and trauma of all kinds. And I never really had a lot of time to kind of heal. And so I'm kind of doing that, you know, now, honestly, at 35 years old. So it's 31 years later from the disease and, you know, having a podcast and doing a lot of advocacy and just trying to be a presence on social media and just, you know, obviously the book and just many things, just trying to be present and trying to help people and give them somebody to look up to and hopefully inspires other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And so TJ really is passionate about helping people with disabilities. And that's what his podcast is about. It's called My Blurred Opinion. And he interviews people about their situations and talks about that on his podcast. So you should look it up. And then do you want to talk a little bit about the podcast, TJ?
Sure. I had a wonderful lady on. You might have heard her name is Deanna Mitchell. I don't know if you heard of her. She was a very delight. No, we've become good friends. I do appreciate you for everything in general, but more so your friendship. But yeah, of course, I had you on and many a multitude of people. But just like a brief summary, I did it just to kind of get my story out there, talk about what it's like to have mental health, a disability, and just go through all these different things that I've already told you. And then just kind of throughout that, it grew from that to wanting to explore by interviewing people of all different disabilities. I tried to think bigger picture. And then from that, it was like, hey, I'd like to kind of delve into the homeless community. And weirdly enough, the first person I interviewed was homeless, was actually blind. And then that was like, it kind of triggered something in me like, hey, I think these are all connected, even though I should have known that. And so then addiction came from that and domestic violence and now soon to be child trafficking and a multitude of other issues. But yeah, so the podcast went from disability centric essentially to then just about trauma and how people get through it, how they overcome, but of course start with the journey and what it is that they endured, and then you know, enlighten people on how you can thrive regardless of whatever it is that you endured. So yeah, it's kind of what the podcast is about.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And it's just a safe space. I mean, I created it because when I was a kid, I didn't have a safe space to be myself. I didn't have a safe space where I could say, hey guys, I was blind, or hey guys, I'm, you know, I was bullied or whatever, and people not make fun of me. And so I wanted to make this, and it kind of created itself in a way, because I never understood why I didn't do a video element. And I just felt like, you know what? I kind of realized later, like, auditorial was like the way to go, because, you know, not even just being cute, but like sometimes women or whoever just don't want to put their makeup on. And then it went from that to like, oh, maybe it's just now people, they can't judge us. You know, someone has Tourette's and they're ticking. Like, you can't just go, oh, look how weird they look, or, you know, look at that person missing a leg, or whatever. Like, you can't judge. You can presume or assume, but you don't know. So it kind of shields people from any extra criticism, and it's just a safe place for people to just tell their story without judgment.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk about, after the book came out, like, what was happening? Because I know there's several things. I don't know how the impact of putting the book out affected you. And then there's things that happened after that. But I want to ask you that first. Like, did the book coming out, how did that affect your life at all?
Well, even to the thing that you were kind of, you know, relating to is, but the new job and stuff, that even had a part to do with my job interview. But as far as putting it out, like, I never thought I'd even be an author or even put out anything that anyone would look at. And it just gave me something else to just kind of, you know, have like another badge of honor, another thing that I accomplished that I never thought I would do. And I had a lot of people tell me I wouldn't be anything. And so I guarantee that was one of the things they didn't think I'd be. You know, I kind of look at life as like this, like I'm wearing, like my body is wearing all these different things. Like it's almost like a shirt, like a NASCAR shirt where it has all these endorsements on it. And I just keep adding these badges of honor of things I just keep putting on there, these little pins, or maybe, you know, maybe the Boy Scouts or whatever equivalent you want to use. But just keep adding these things, and it's like, oh, look what you've done. And sometimes you go back and you think of where you were, because I never thought of ever being a leader in any shape or form. I was the kid that would hide in the class. I would want to just be buried. I don't want to ever be called on. I don't want to ever stand up for myself, especially not for other people, because I didn't even want to stand up for me. So the idea of having a chapter in a book, especially about mental health and about my demons and stuff, you know, I was very open to doing it because, one, I liked you, but also I was in a better place, you know, than where I was many years ago. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it didn't have much of an effect on me early, like when I first put it out, because I didn't really think about it until really kind of what you were alluding to is just like when I lost my job, I had these 4 months to kind of process a lot. And that was one of those things where I had to like, wow, okay, look at that. The person who struggled to read and had to do it in Braille and all these other things. And now you're here.
That's awesome. Well, I think, you know, what TJ is talking about is after the book came out, it wasn't very long after that I saw a video of him. He came on live and he was like, you know, I just lost my job. And, you know, you could share whatever you want about that. But I think that it was, I just want to say that when that happened, I don't know how you felt inside, but on the outside, you seemed extremely calm about it and about, like, you know, this happened. And I think you've had to deal with so much in your life that you probably go through something like that, and it's not as traumatic because of all the other things you've been through. And so maybe that's why it came across that way. But I felt like you dealt with it very well.
No, I thank you. I did, but it wasn't, because we had a couple of discussions in between there. And one of the things I told you is like the day after I got fired. Now, this is a place I worked for 8.5 years. And honestly, I was very miserable and depressed. And I'm trying not to take as many shots as them because I'm just trying to end that and just, you know, whatever. But anyway, the point is like, this is a place that hired people like me, visually impaired or blind. And they, you know, as an advocate for people with disabilities, it was a real problem for me because they didn't treat us very well and they still don't. And it was really hard for me to stay, but it was comfortable. The money was all right. And it was a job. And, you know, I had that feeling of, oh God, will I ever find another one? Who's going to hire someone like me? And, you know, even though I knew better, but it's just, it was hard. And, you know, as much as I want change, I don't handle it well. And so it felt like somebody, and I become more, I don't even know, spiritual. I'm not like super religious, but I definitely starting to believe more, definitely in God. And I just sat there and I had this overwhelming feeling the day after I got fired. I said, this is the best thing that could ever happen to you. And then I immediately followed it by, huh? What do you mean? And then I'm like, oh, but it feels like it. And then I started doing all these little exercises by using my white dry eraser board, writing things on the like daily stuff to just kind of, whatever goes on this board, I need to do it that day just to be more disciplined and work on myself. And as those days, you know, even though I had anxiety, I had stress, I just kept feeling like it was all going to be okay. I didn't know why. I had no idea. And weirdly enough, I'm having that feeling because I wrote down these 8 goals. And the next thing that popped up is like, try to fall in love. And I have that feeling now about that. And I don't even know why, because there's not anybody, not that saying like there won't be, but at the moment, I have that feeling about that now. It's the same exact feeling that I had about the job, and something happened and it was like, wow, I didn't see that coming. But anyway, those 4 months, it was just so therapeutic because I tried to get in my shape a little more, work out, you know, just work on myself and just kind of look at like kind of what you were talking about earlier, is just that I was looking at this situation for what it was, and I started comparing it to past situations, and I'm like, well, I can't compare it to when I was sick, because that's like always going to be a 10 to a 0. It's not fair. So I started comparing it to another situation where my mom was basically moving out of the house and with her now husband, but I was going to have to live with him and her and his mother at the time, and I didn't really like him at the time. I didn't want to live with all these other people, and I just made this whim where I'm like, nope, I need to get this job. And I moved all the way up here 3 hours away. And anyway, make a long story short, I compared it to this situation because at that point in time, I had to find a new job. I had to move 3 hours away and I had to find a place to live. Well, in this particular situation that I was in about 6 months ago, I only had to find a job. And I'm like, well, that's a huge change. So if that is a 10, the previous one, then this is like at best a 4 or 5. And so I started to kind of minimize what I was going through, and I started to just take it apart and go, look, this is not going to be easy. This isn't necessarily fun, but take this time to just appreciate life and enjoy yourself. And, you know, somehow it will all work out to the point where, you know, and there was moments where it revved up a little bit, and, you know, the former employer denied my unemployment. So I wasn't getting any extra money other than my disability. And I didn't even, you know, there was a part of me that didn't even want to fight that. And I did. And I won. And when I won and they didn't even bother to show up, it made me, like, I was elated. I was so happy because everything that I fought for at that company, all the things I fought for and against, it vindicated me because I knew there was a part of me that I thought I was wrong and I was kind of the problem. And I knew deep down I wasn't, but it's just like when no one else is fighting with you and everyone else stays silent, even though they feel the same way you do, it kind of makes you feel wrong, and it just makes you feel yucky at times. You just like, I guess I'm just a hothead, or I'm out of control, or whatever. And when they didn't show up and I ended up winning my money and I got to still say my piece, it made me feel like everything did work out the way I thought it was going to. And not only that, I got a new job where they hired me on the spot for 3 reasons. 1, because I sold myself really well. 2, the podcast. And 3, the book. And they were really impressed with me because they wanted somebody who had a severe disability, which I do, but there's plenty of them, but who wants to work, obviously, and who cares about the betterment of people with disabilities. So check, check, and check.
Yeah, that's awesome. You want to talk a little bit about what you're doing at that job?
Yeah, so again, it's kind of going slow because of our certain clearances, clearances I have to pass for the government to work with the government. But my job title is just technically 2. It's advocacy based, and then the other half is, I guess I'm called an employment specialist, where I would help people with disabilities find employment, which is the irony of the whole thing. As I told you, it's the full circle of life of being a person with a disability who's unemployed, who then becomes a person with a disability who's employed, helping people with disabilities find employment. Like, it's just crazy.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And it's like,
and if you're passionate and you're really good at helping others, you know, see the value in themselves, I think.
Yeah, and then the other part of the advocacy part is the part I've been more entrenched with, because those other things are kind of on hold right now until the clearances go through, is that the advocacy stuff, I'm learning so much more about the movement and being surrounded by all these other powerful, strong people with disabilities and of all facets, people in wheelchairs or blind or whatever, deaf, and they're fighting. And I see them fighting. And a lot of them aren't even in the place that I am, where like I'm like, let's go, and I'm open about who I am. And a lot of these people, it's just fight or flight, and all they have left is to fight. And they're only fighting because they're at their last, you know, they're on their last leg, and they're just, they have no fight. They have nothing else left in them but fight. And to me, that, like, I'm in awe inspired by that, because I have the fight, but I also, like, if I have to, I know when to just kind of step back and just, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
But that's all they have left. And it's like, I'm in, like, whatever you guys need, I'm with you, because this is beautiful. But it's like a whole new world, kind of, with, you know, it's like an undercover world that I just, like, you know, press the button and just like a Scooby-Doo cartoon, and just a door opens up and wah, and it's like, whoa, what is this world? And it's like, yeah, I was meant to see this. So
what would, if somebody's listening to this conversation that is in a place where they're tired of fighting and they don't know what to do and they don't really care if they live or die because they're tired of fighting, what would you say to them?
Well, first, I think, you know, people always want to kind of presume and just throw their, you know, they want to help and do all that. But like, the first thing is, you, as a person who's been there, like, I fully, fully understand. Like, I never judge those people, because I get it. I've been at the bottom where I tried to end my life. And so it's like, I never come from judgment, because I always let people know that, like, I am not here to just tell you life is going to be okay, just to tell you it's going to be okay, because I hate that. People have told me that my whole life. Oh, it's going to get up. It's going to get better. And even if technically they're right, they don't even give you, like, you know, a blueprint to how it gets better. Or they don't give you any, you know, foregone information that just like, oh, that makes sense. Thanks. It's just to kind of make you feel better in the moment. But then it just passes and you're like, yeah, I don't believe what that woman said. But anyway, like I said, it does get better. But your best bet is especially to try to surround yourself with good people, because I think we all try to initially do it by ourselves and it just doesn't work. It just doesn't. It's always good to just be able to call somebody up. And that's, I think that's why I really started at the end of the podcast, and I did it with you and a multitude of people. I just say, hey, if you ever need anything, like towards the end, like if you need a friend, I'm around. And I mean that, and I try to check on everybody, and it gets harder and harder because you start interviewing more people. There's some that you connect with, you know, on a deeper level and stuff. But in general, I try to care because I know what it's like to be alone. I mean, you see my cat. I know what it's like to have no friends and the only friend is an animal. You know, I know what it's like to cry in and outside and just be on, you know, it feels like your whole body's on fire because you just hate the world and you hate life. And you just want to end the pain. And the only way to do it is, unfortunately, ending your life. And so many people try however you do it, but it can get better, but you have to find things to hold on to. You have to grasp onto the things that make you happy. You know, I say this a lot on the show, but it doesn't have to be like, oh my God, there's this girl I have a crush on. You know, if I ask her out, you know, then there's a reason. No, it could literally be the next season of a show that you enjoy. And it's like, that comes out in a month. It's a month you want to live. It's a month. Like, a lot can happen in a month. And then what happens if it gets re-upped for another season while you're watching it? Now you have another year to want to live. It may sound stupid, but you have to find these things to just grasp onto and something to live for. You know, when I've hit mental rock bottom and I wanted to end my life, there was still something that was kept saying, no, keep going. It's going to get better. But when you're at the very bottom and you're looking up at these like proverbial like steps and you're like, oh my God, it looks like, you know, the Mount Everest. Like, I'm never going to climb that. And not only that, the worst part is when you get halfway or a good amount way up the steps and then you fall all the way back to where you first started from. That's the most surreal thing, because that is like, oh my God, I am a failure because I thought I'm beyond this. You're not beyond any of it. It's the same thing like being an addict. Like, all it takes is one sip or one puff or whatever, and you're back to square one. So but at the same time, you have to realize how strong you are, because a lot of us are dealt a really, really crappy hand, and we don't ever look at like what it is that, like, or how that we're still moving. There's days I look at myself in the mirror and I go, how are you here? Not just because I almost died or I attempted to kill myself, but like, why? Why are you still moving? Even when I get bad news, it's like a day and I'm like, and then the next day I'm smiling again. And it was like, man, like, I'm telling you, just wear that stuff like a badge of honor. Keep fighting, keep pushing through the mud, as they say. And, you know, it's like the quicksand thing. Just grab onto the branch and just keep pulling. And eventually you're going to pull yourself out. It's just, you have, there's no real, like, 100% solution, because we all have different things. Like, our problems are all different. So you just have to believe. You got to hang in there. And I'm not telling you to believe in God. I'm not telling you to, whatever it is that you care about. You know, it could be a pet, it could be a loved one, it could be a family member, it could be anyone, just whatever it is, whoever, whatever, hang in there and just love that and just keep moving. Somehow you'll get out of it.
It's true. Are you feeling alone, lacking hope, and unsure of the future? So many people are feeling the same way. How could you not, after an unprecedented lockdown of the entire globe? The fallout has changed the normalcy we all knew. It's hard when you feel lost, and even harder when you're scared to talk about it. We are here to help. At the Realize Foundation, we provide peer-to-peer support through conversations, community, and personal stories. It is our mission to spread hope and let you know that you are not alone. If you are enjoying this podcast, I would love for you to become part of our membership community to get the peer-to-peer support you need. Learn more at the call to action link for Scars to Stars membership. I look forward to seeing you in our community of kind souls. You know, Johnny Crowder, who created Cope Notes, and you guys can look up copenotes.com. It's a texting service and it's all about mental health and it's awesome. But Johnny, and he's been on our podcast as well, and he said that one time he was really into music when he was growing up. And he said, I postponed my death once because there was a concert I wanted to go to. So when you said that, it made me remember his comment. And it's like, you know, music is a really big thing for people too. Like, I have playlists for different moods. Like, when I'm feeling really depressed or struggling, I have a playlist for that. If I'm feeling like I'm really anxious about something, I have a playlist for that. So music is a really good tool if you use it in a way that, like, what is it? What kind of music do you want to hear when you're depressed and that can lift your mood?
Sure.
And it's funny because there was this playlist I listened to a lot in 2020 and 2021. And for those of you who don't know, I lost a 10-year business in 2020. And so I was in a really dark place. And I would listen to these songs that would help me get through the day. And now I listen to that playlist and I'm like, oh my God, this is sad. And I'm like, but at the time, it was so vital to me. Those songs got me through each day for months because I was in such a bad place. And then, you know, when you, I also have a playlist. It's like, I call it hype because it's like, it gets me in a creative, like, let's get stuff done, move forward attitude. Yeah. Yeah. So what are some of your favorite songs for stuff like that?
I'm the same way. I download, it depends on the mood too. Cause like there's some, sometimes you just want to feel like lovey-dovey type, you know, R&B type music. Or sometimes you just need a really hard rock ballad or a hip-hop song to just kind of get you going. I mean, I go to the gym a couple of times a week, so that's like, I use that. And then sometimes you just want to kind of add to the emotion, even if you're feeling so low, you just start listening to sad songs, which is the worst. It's like when you break up with somebody and you just start playing love songs or breakup songs. You're like, why am I doing this to myself? But yeah, I don't have any particular person, but I did want to go back one second because one of the things where I knew I wanted to be alive was that there was a thing I used to do, and I never thought about it until maybe a year ago when I used to be so depressed, and I would just, like, my safe space was my bed, and I would curl in my bed and I would cry or want to cry, but the antidepressants were keeping them at bay, and maybe I'd snuggle with my cat or whatever. And I always knew I had this, and I'm not trying to be super dark, but I always had this big knife in my, in the upper shelving of my bed. And I just kept having this thought of just plunge it into yourself. And I never would, but obviously, but like every time I had that thought, my body just kind of went on shutdown. It just locked in. I couldn't move my arms. I couldn't move anything until the feeling would pass. And I never really considered why that would, because it was just like, ah, whatever, it is what it is. But you still want to do it, right? And then I realized, I was like, nah, it's my body just, you know, it's just me deep down. It's like the whatever inner spirit or whatever it is that I have that keeps fighting is just like, nah, this is just dumb. Just let it pass and you're good. And then I'd be over it, and I never would even consider that thing being there. A lot of times I just kept it there in case like somebody knocked on my door at 3 a.m, whatever. But overall, it was there. It's right there still. I could still do it, but I never will because I know I want to be alive. It may be a dark way to get to it, but it's like, I know that because what is stopping me? The only thing that's stopping me is me. I don't live with anybody. My cat can't stop me. So it's literally just me. And it's me telling myself, you want to be alive. You have a bigger purpose. Keep going. All this is just, you know, a formality. It's good. So, and that's the thing, like you said, you postpone it. You're just like, we'll get back to this conversation another day. And then months go by, you're like, what was that we were talking about? Oh, who cares? You don't care. And it doesn't mean a lot. But again, those moments to me still mean a lot because it made me realize how far I've come. Because now I don't have those moments. I have moments where I'm sad or I don't feel like doing something. Maybe I'll curl up on the couch or I'll lay in my bed, but it's not like, oh, suicidal thoughts. It's just like, man, I just wish things weren't so hard. That's it.
I think the point is finding some kind of tool or resource or thing that just helps you through those moments when they do come. And for me, music is probably number one, but also just having the community of Scars to Stars and all the people who've been involved. And you know that you can pick up the phone and talk to any one of them in any time about something that you're having a hard time with, because we've all gotten to know each other through the process of the books and writing and getting to know each other's stories. And it's a wonderful community when people, you know, really participate and take advantage of the 12 weeks we have together writing a book. So it's been really cool for me to see so many people bond that didn't know each other before this, including me and TJ, because we didn't know each other before this book. And it was somebody from your podcast who told me I should reach out to you. So it's, you know, we all find each other in different ways, but my feeling is that things happen for a reason and things happen the way they are meant to be, with lack of better explanation. I do believe in God, and I do have faith that there are things that happen to us or for us to further whatever it is we're put on this earth for, and finding our purpose and our why and how we help other people. And I think you're a great example of that, TJ.
Appreciate it. Same goes to you. Yeah, I mean, as I said, but when you're in the worst feelings, it's, and I'm sure you've heard it many times yourself, it's like, don't worry, you know, you've been through so much, good things are coming and all that. And it just sounds cliche, and it's just nauseating. And even if it's true or they mean well or whatever, but it's like, you're like, ugh, when you're at your worst or even climbing back up, you're just like, I don't want to hear that, because I'm always looking over my shoulder, like, when's the next storm coming? And that's, but like, when you start to see some things unfold, like how it has been for me more of late, it's like, man, Because even like, you know, I told you what's been going on with, you asked me about the procedure and stuff. And it's like, it's got me down about it. But as you also stated, like, maybe this is the, you know, this happened for a reason and something else is coming. And when you, as soon as you said it, I was already thinking that. And I don't like, and again, it's the same thing, like I said, about the dating thing or the job thing. I don't know what it is, but it is something. And that whole job 4 months thing really invigorated me in so many ways, because it's like, not only did I heal mentally, physically, I even went back to all the past traumas and dealt with them and all that. But it was also like, hey, man, like there's something here that's, whatever you want to call it, is something's in your corner and it's going to be okay. And things are going to get a lot better. And then things started to get a lot better. And again, I'm still far from where I want to be, but I'm also far from where I started. So I may not be at the very top step, but I'm at least at the halfway point. I'm at least maybe even above that. Like, I'm beyond where I was then. And I still struggle with chronic pain, brain fog, depression, anxiety. My eyes are still are what they are. And, you know, I still deal with a lot of other things. And it's all good. I mean, some days are rough, but I'm not dead.
Yeah. But, I mean, to your point, the losing the job seemed like the end of a lot of things at the time. But then you said the 4 months that you got to spend reflecting and working on yourself that you're thankful for. So that's proof right there that when seemingly bad things happen, sometimes we get a lot out of that in the long run. And it kind of speaks to the tattoo I have on my arm that says, thankful for the scars, because if I haven't been through the things I've been through in my life, I wouldn't be able to give back to other people the way I do now and help people the way I do now. And the same for you.
Yeah. I think the one thing that I didn't talk about that still was during those 4 months, the one thing that I'm very proud of is, look, I'm not a social media person and I only do it because of podcasts and advocacy related stuff. But a friend of mine who I've met did the podcast. She was like, just get on TikTok. Okay, whatever. And for the whole time I was off, I did a little blog at least once a day. I made it like a job where I'm like, I need to check in every day with these people. I want them to know how I'm doing, to show you, basically journalizing from the day after I got fired to the day I got a job and beyond, what it's like for a person with a disability to lose a job, because 70% of us are unemployed, to show you what it's like to lose a job and then gain a job within months later and then thrive within that job and then just show my life and not pull away, you know, the fourth wall, pull away everything and just go, hey, look, here's a day where I'm sad, tears in my eyes. Here's a day where I'm angry. I'm not glorifying anything. I'm not downplaying anything. I'm just saying, this is me in a nutshell. You're not going to always get the best version of me. This is just my life. Like it or not. So it's something I can do outside the podcast and actually can do more of, because a lot of times when you're interviewing, you don't want to hijack the person. You don't want to just start bawling about something or whatever. Hey, you're like, hey, this is my life outside of it. And it's even, you know, it's at My Blurred Opinion. So it's the same thing, you know, entitled the same thing. So it's easy to find me and I'm just being real. And so that came, you know, so I did at least 100 straight days of just constantly just doing like a mental health checkup. And from the day after I got fired to whatever day I stopped, and I still every day post something, at least one thing, just maybe something that's on my mind, something I can relate to. Just trying to, you know, talk and just be there, because that's a big thing when, you know, because I'm looking at it now as a person who struggles with my problems, but is now looking for the people that were me before those 4 months or even beyond. And I'm just trying to be here. Sometimes you want to just help everybody, but people aren't willing to accept your help yet. But if you're just there and you're a constant, you're a voice that's just saying something and they're like, eh, that kind of sounds about right. And then one day you hear it and it sounds a little different. I wasn't ready to accept that, but now I am. And, you know, you just keep being there and somebody or somebodies will continue to reach out and go, thank you for your help. And I get that all the time. And so that was maybe the most important thing that came out of it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. I think there's so much we can learn from each other And the people who do show up consistently are the ones who provide the most value, and people are, you know, they start following you because it's something that's consistent. But then I've been doing some videos too. And at first I was really nervous about it, and I would, you know, I didn't really want to be on camera. And I had been doing a lot of these kind of videos, but I had never done any that were just me talking about something. But now that I've been doing it for a while, and I don't do it every day, but I do probably two or three a week. And I ran into two people last week. They're like, "We love your videos." And I was like, "Well, I didn't even know you were watching."
Nice, right?
You never know who is seeing them and what they're getting out of it, because they don't always tell you. But it's something also, when you're the one making these videos, it's a very vulnerable thing. Like, you're sharing personal thoughts, or you're sharing things about your life that, you know, it's kind of like the Scars to Stars books. It makes people know they're not alone, because when you're talking about your own thoughts, some of them or all of them can relate to some of what you're saying in some way. And it again makes them feel like they're not alone, because, hey, I'm feeling this and I don't want to talk about it, but this guy is on TikTok every day talking about it. So it makes me feel like I'm not alone, and I can listen to him and get that whatever I need to get through the day. And so I think it's very valuable to people in the world that listen to other people talk about these things. So thank you.
Yeah, same to you. Yeah. I mean, it's good to get it out there, man. Some things just feel right when they're coming out. It's not every video where I'm like, "Nah, I was definitely say something in that video." There's definitely a bunch of them, like, going back and I'm like, "Yeah, you know, like, I don't really want to listen to it because it's my voice." But it's like, I really do feel like I was saying something. I do think that was impactful, regardless if it had millions of views or not. And I had a friend named Barissa. She's this stroke survivor. And she told me, just because they're not interacting or commenting, liking, subscribing, whatever, that doesn't mean they're not listening. They're out there. You just have to believe that. And every so often, especially on TikTok, you tend to reach more people, but you definitely get people that are just like, "Yeah, man, I've been here, been listening to you." And one woman, she did a podcast. She's had an awful life. Just, I don't know how many sexual assaults and just a rough, rough life. And she's like, "I've been following you for years." And I'm like, "Jesus, I've barely been doing this for years." So it's like, you know, however I can, you know, just be a friend for her, because she doesn't have any, or at least at the time didn't have any friends. She had somebody who was just some random person who hasn't been through a lot of the things she's been through. But I'm like, "Look, man, I try." That's the thing. Like, I think that's one of the best qualities I have, is that I have empathy, and that I don't try to talk to somebody in a wheelchair and go like, "Yeah, I know what it's like because I had a cast once," you know, or like, and I actually have spent times in wheelchairs where I couldn't get out and I couldn't walk, but I could move my spine and I could do some things. But regardless, I don't try to, like, you know, act like I understand their situation because I have a life experience that's kind of sort of far-fetched experience that kind of seems like theirs. No, I really can find ways to compare it, whether it's mentally, physically, in a way, but also not downplay it as, you know, and make mine seem worse or anything. And I just try to, like, yeah, I let people just, I love just letting people be themselves. And that's for good or for worse. Like, I want people to show their true colors. And I'd rather people just be awful in front of me so I know what they are, where they stand, and that's it. I don't like the lying, and that I just like people being themselves. And that's unabashedly that's just what it is. There's no, you know, nothing hidden. And that's how you bring the best out of people. Maybe the worst too, I don't know, but I'll take what you got to take the good with the bad. That's everything. And for me, I like people just being raw and just who they are, because that's something that's missing in the world a lot these days, is authenticity.
That is true. That is very true. Well, I appreciate your authenticity and everything you've offered to our community through the books and through our conversations. And also what you're doing in the world with your new job and your podcast. And I just think you're a great inspiration to many people.
Thank you. I appreciate that a lot. I don't take compliments very well. I mean, I really do appreciate it, because, you know, I do love you to death. And, you know, I'm very grateful to have you as a friend, and I do think the same thing about you. And but yeah, I'm very grateful.
Well, thank you, TJ. Well, I just want to let everybody know, if you are looking for someone to have a conversation with about your own situation, or maybe you want to write about something you've overcome in one of our books, check us out. And I'm going to put our website up. It's called realizefoundation.org. And on the Scars to the Stars page, there is a video with a guy named Eric talking about writing his story. And you can fill out that form to submit if you want to write in our next book that we're going to start in July. And the book will come out on September 22nd to 2024. And we're going to, September is Suicide Prevention Month. So that's why we put our books out in September, because that is the biggest part of our mission. So if you're interested, look us up. Feel free to share it with anybody. And also just look at our social pages or our YouTube channels. We have tons and tons of videos and interviews with all of our authors and getting to know some of them. So I hope you'll check us out. I hope you enjoyed this conversation TJ and I have been having. And we hope to see you in our community.
Yeah.
I'm so happy you joined us for this conversation. My wish is that you found comfort and hope in your own unique situation. If you resonated with our message, please head over to therealizefoundation.org, where you can apply to write your own story in one of our books. You can also download our 60 Ideas for Self-Care on the resources page. I can't wait to hear from you. Until next time, you are not alone, you are worthy, and you are enough.